Atheist. It's based on a book by Craig Rochelle called Christian Atheist. Now, that almost seems like an oxymoron, and it is in a way, but practical atheist is a person who says, I believe in God, but yet lives as though he doesn't exist. And we, 3 weeks, we've talked about three things, and we're going to talk about the fourth today. The first week, we talked about, I believe in God, but I don't fear him. Second week, we talked about, I believe in God, but I don't want to go overboard. And then last week, we talked about, I believe in God, but I trust in money. And, you know, these are issues. Some of these issues are issues that cause a lot of believers to stumble. We have, in America, and I don't know about anywhere else, but a lot of people who go to church that are what we call nominal Christian. I didn't say denominational, I said nominal. Nominal means in name only. They believe in God, but they live as though he don't exist. And we call that a practical atheist. See, one of the things that we believe and know to be true, that when we have an encounter with God through Jesus Christ, that it should be and will be, if it's a true encounter, a life-changing experience. It will change the way that you see life. It will change the way that you think. It'll get into your actions. It'll change the way that you treat other people. And if it doesn't, then guess what? You need to look at it and see that, have I really had an encounter with God, or is this just a mental thing? I heard it said one time that some people will miss heaven by 18 inches. They believe here, but they haven't embraced here. And they'll miss heaven by 18 inches because they have a head experience, but they hadn't had a heart experience. See, Jesus said, you must be what? Born again. And this has been a hard series to teach because it's confrontational in nature, but it's not a judgmental thing. It's not me standing up here thinking, okay, guys, you, judging you. No, I have to judge me too. I have to reflect. And so our job is not to condemn people. Our job is to challenge people. It's your job to judge you. It's not my job to judge you. It's your job to judge you. The first week we talked about two kinds of people that are prominent in churches. One we call John and the other we call Susie. Remember that? John and Susie. Now John is one who has had who has prayed what we call the sinner's prayer. He goes to church, but really the gospel has not impacted his life that much. In fact, in his daily life, he rarely thinks about God. He goes to church on Sunday, he does his church thing, but through the week He doesn't really read his Bible. He doesn't do anything. He just kind of goes and floats through life. And he calls himself a Christian. He believes in God, but he lives as though he doesn't exist. It's a practical atheist. And then the other one was Susie. Remember Susie? She is there every time the door is open. In fact, if she's not there, she feels guilty. She volunteers for everything that goes on in the church. And if she has to miss for some reason, then she feels guilty. And she never feels like that she measures up. She never feels that anything that she does is good enough to please God. And the problem is that both of these people, And they're totally different in their actions. Everybody would love to have a Susie in their church because they get things done. But Susie has a problem. She doesn't understand grace. She doesn't understand that she is not trying to do things in order to gain God's approval. But the truth of the gospel is that when we fall in love with God, then we want to do things to please God. We're not trying to earn his approval. We realize that we already have his approval, that he already loves us right where we are. We make this statement all the time. God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. And we believe that all through your Christian life, you should be growing. And if you will, listen, if you will take time to reflect on your daily life, then you will grow. If you will take time to judge yourself, if you'll judge your motives, if you'll judge your heart, if you'll let the Word of God speak to you, then you can be a growing Christian. Some will grow faster than others, but you will be a growing Christian. I want to ask you a question. Look back in your life 1 year. Are you different today than you were a year ago? Are you closer to God than you were a year ago? Are you further away or are you no different? If you're further away or you're no different, guess what you need to do? You need to look at yourself. You need to open your heart and say to God, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lead me in the way everlasting. Because He will do that. Because the gospel is an ongoing, our relationship with God is a growing relationship. That's what God wants in our lives. But you know, the Bible says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. You know what? If you keep God at arm's length, He'll stay there. Even though He loves you, even though that He's crazy about you, you can keep God at arm's length in your life and He'll stay there. But if we draw nigh to God, guess what? He'll draw nigh to us. Now the Holy Spirit will woo us, but He will not overwhelm us. He will call us, but He will not intrude. So we need to be open enough in our hearts that we invite God into our lives. The way that we live our lives. The way that we parent our children. The kind of spouse that we are. The way that we do our job. The way that we treat people. We need to invite God to invade the realm of our life. And you know what? As we grow in Christ, the Holy Spirit can take us and use us for His glory. But if we keep God away, there's two things that happen. There's a cheating that goes on. We cheat God from fulfilling what He wants in our life. And we cheat ourselves out of a lifestyle that God has for us that will bring glory to His name. And you know what? There's a third thing. There may be people who miss the kingdom because we don't let God be what He wants to in our life. There may be people who go to hell because we don't allow God into our lives like He wants to be. So this series is meant not to condemn us, but to challenge us to draw nigh to God so that He can draw nigh unto us. Today we're going to talk about, I believe in God, but I don't know Him. Now we're going to use that word know in particular aspects. There's ways of knowing people. I know Nancy Duncan. I know her pretty good. There's people that I'm acquainted with. And I say, well, I know them. I know who they are. But I know Kathy Insel. I know her in the biblical way. Because we've had kids together. So there's different ways. And so, I say that in church. Well, but it describes the differences in knowing people. And there are people who know who Jesus is. They know God. They know Him. They know who He is. They know there is a God. Did you know Satan knows there's a God? Did you know Satan believes in God? Satan's not an atheist. He's smarter than some people. Boy, this crowd, y'all a tough crowd today, aren't you? But there's different aspects of knowing. So this person says, I believe in God, but I don't know Him. Titus chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That's pretty serious, isn't it? They say that they know Him, but their actions deny it. You know, there are times that we'll say something maybe to our spouse. You say, I love you. And they look at you and say, well, show me. Act like it. Isn't that true? And sometimes I wonder if we do God that way. We say, Lord, I love you. Bless me. And He'll say, but your actions deny it. Your actions deny it. Have you ever had anybody say to you, that you'll say, like, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. I didn't know you was a Christian. If anybody has ever said that to you, then you ought to reflect on your life. Oh, I didn't know you was a Christian. I didn't know you was a believer. You know what they're saying? Your actions do not show that you are a believer. And I honestly believe that if you really are a follower of Christ, it will reflect itself in your lifestyle. Now, you won't ever be perfect. Now, we ought to strive for it. We ought to try to do better. But you'll never make it. Now, you have a perfect righteousness if you've embraced Jesus Christ. God looks at you. Part of the righteousness is though we've never sinned. But honestly, we still miss it, don't we? We still mess up. We still fall short. Thank God for the grace of God. But this person said, the scripture says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. See, some people believe in God, but don't know him. It's all mental. It's not a spiritual thing. 1 John 2:3 says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commandments. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's pretty straightforward. I hope that that does not describe anybody here today. Well, I know God. I go to church. I go to believers. You know, coming to believers will not get you to heaven. It's knowing God. It's following God. And it's not like you're earning your way, but there is a fruit that takes place when we claim Jesus Christ. There's something that happens in our life. I've been in church all my life. I cannot remember the time. My mom and daddy took me to church, but I didn't become a Christian until I was 19 years old. Before then, I had to go to church. I didn't enjoy it very much, but I had to go. They didn't have things for kids like we got today. Not really. Not like we do. They didn't. You know, kids were kind of an afterthought. They had Sunday school, and then we had to go sit in boring church. Okay? Nancy tells people all the time, come back here with us. You'll have fun. You sit out here, you'll be bored. I want to smack her sometimes. No, these services out here are not designed for children. They're not. Those over there are. I went through there a while ago. Boy, they're having a time over there. Lots of kids over there. I love that. But this service is not designed for that. It's designed for adults. And I used to have to go to church. When I got saved, all of a sudden, I got to go to church. Something changed in my heart. Fruit began to take place. I began to desire to grow. I had a insatiable desire to know God better. I didn't pray a prayer just to miss hell. When I prayed that prayer, God changed my heart. I changed the way that I thought. I changed the way that I acted. And it wasn't anything that I did. It's something that he changed in me, then it enabled me to make some connections in my life. And it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal looking back on it. So some people say they believe in God, but they don't know him. They don't live out any of his commandments. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, you cannot do enough good things to earn your way to heaven. It's not about that. It's believing in Christ. And when you come before God on that day and you don't know him and you say, but Lord, I went to church. I helped with the block party. I mean, I helped set off fireworks. I helped cook. I helped clean up. Doesn't that mean anything? And he says, I said, you depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's not about what we do. It's about what we believe. But if we believe right, guess what? We start doing right. We get the horse before the cart sometimes. And that was Susie's problem that we talked about a while ago. She felt like she had to earn God's acceptance. She could not accept the fact that God loved her right where she was at. And she did not understand the grace of God. See, we got people on this side who are hedonists that they're all about. They don't want to go to hell, but they don't really want to be all that gung-ho about God. So they'll pray the prayer, but nothing ever changes in their life. And then you got Susie over here who's doing everything that she can so that she can please God. And neither one pleased God. Neither one pleased God. It's a relationship. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. That's what it is. It's a relationship. And out of that relationship becomes a very fruitful life. Then the second one is, I know God, but I don't know Him well. I don't know God like I should. You know, maybe we all fit into that to some degree, because I guarantee you, you don't know everything about God. You don't know God like you should. You may even, the next one has having an intimate relationship with Him. But one of the things when you have an intimate relationship with Him is that you'll discover that there are things about God that you don't know well. But you're seeking to know that. But there are people who say, you know what, I know God, but I don't know Him well. And really, the thing that follows that, I'm really not trying to find out any more about God. I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at. I'm just kind of comfortable where I'm at. I'm not seeking anything. I'm not searching out anything. And these are the kind of Christians that become miserable. These are the kind of Christians who don't only become complacent. They're always looking for somebody to raise them to the next level. They're saying, well, feed me. Feed me. And that's like a 16-year-old kid going to his mom and say, Mama, would you cut my steak for me? Would you put it in my mouth? See, we get discontent. And we try to blame other people for our discontent. But what we need to do is look into our own mirror and we'll see the reason of our discontent is because we're no longer seeking to know God better. I know Him, but I don't know Him well. And we use that as an excuse and we settle into that lifestyle and we become discontent. We're not where we need to be and we know it, but we don't admit it to ourselves. Galatians 4:8 says this, formerly when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? See, this describes a person who has known God, but they've kind of settled into this lifestyle and they're not pursuing this relationship with God. We do it in marriage sometimes. You know, you settle into a marriage and you don't do things together and you take things for granted and, you know, and the marriage becomes rocky. Well, we do that with God too. We just take things for granted and we don't seek God and we don't grow. And the first thing you know, we start going back into some of those things that we used to do. See, the devil knows where you're weak. He knows where you're weak. And I don't care who you are. Every one of us have had some problems in our past. And if you withdraw from your pursuing that relationship with God, if you're not careful, you may have been zealous about God at one time. But if you're not careful, you know what will happen? You'll slip back into those old patterns. Now, you may not get out into sin. You may not relapse or anything like that, but you just get back into those old patterns and you get into a death cycle and it's not fulfilling. You're not growing. And here again, as Christians, we need to be growing. Christianity is like swimming up a stream against the current. As long as you're stroking, you're making progress. But guess what? If you stop to tread water, what does the current of the world do? It pushes you back. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You're not really standing still. There's no such thing as getting stagnant. We call it getting stagnant, but you're really not, because you're starting to go backwards. And there's a lot of Christians who have gone backwards in their relationship with God. Are they Christians? Yeah, they're Christians. But their lives are unfulfilled because they're going backwards. Then there's this last one. It says, I believe in God and I know Him intimately and I serve Him wholeheartedly. Now, Psalm 63, 1 through 4, describes this kind of lifestyle. And I've always loved this psalm. And let me read it to you. It says, God, you are my God. There's things that you can see about people that will give you insight. Not that you're to judge them, but will give you insight to where they are. When someone talks about the Lord, they will talk about Him on an intimate level if they really, really know Him. My Lord, my Savior. They won't use terms like the man upstairs. You know, cute little terms that we use. My homie. My homeboy. No, He's not your homeboy. He's not the big man upstairs. He's God. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's God. God is kind of a generic term. I mean, God is kind of a, you know, well, I believe in God. But He says, God, you are my God. See, that makes it personal. I embrace Him. He's not just God. He's not just the God that created the universe. He's not the God that's out there somewhere. He is my God. Is He your God today? Or is He just God? Is He your God today or is He just God? He goes on to say, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Now stop and reflect a minute. Do you ever find yourself really thirsting for God? I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, you know what? I'm ready for football. I'm ready for some Razorback football. You know, we're kind of in between sports. I love Razorback football. I do. I love it. I thirst for it. I long for it. I can't wait. Is there anything wrong with that? No, not unless I put that between me and God. But I think sometimes, do I really thirst for God the same way? Or have I just gotten into this mode where, yeah, He's God. He's my God. But it really, if I have this relationship, He's my God, earnestly will I seek Him. My soul thirsts for Him. I want to know more. I want to know more about Him. I want to know Him better. I want to know what He likes. I want to know what He dislikes. I want to know what makes Him happy. I want to know what makes Him sad. I want to know what makes Him angry. I want to know more about Him. Then he goes on in this. He says, my body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. See, this describes a relationship with God that is growing. And can I say this? This is not one that just happens by happen chance. This is one that you pursue. Now, let me use water as an example. There are times in my life and that I know that I need to drink more water, okay? But I have this problem. I like coffee better than I like water. I like tea better than I like water. I like Diet Right better than I like water. And a lot of times when I go out to eat, I think, you know, I ought to drink water but give me tea. You say, well, it's got water in it, but I'm talking about pure water. But this one thing I noticed, that if I will get on the water kick and I will make myself drink water, one thing that I know is that I will begin to long for water. It's not, even though it's something that we naturally need, we have substituted other things like coffee and tea and soft drinks and different things rather than water. What we really need is water, but we don't always desire what we need. But when we set our heart on something, when we set our mind that we're going to do something, then you will begin to desire that. And when we don't always desire God, we don't always pursue our relationship with God because we get caught up in so many different things in our lives. But if you say, okay, I am going to purpose to pursue God, you know what will happen? I've proved this in my life. I mean, I've been in these kind of stages in my life where, oh, got to read my Bible. Oh, got to go to church. Got to. But when I on purpose pursue God, I want more of God. And I think this is where God wants to bring us, that we are in a pursuit of our relationship with Him. We can grow strong and we can grow healthy and we can prosper and we can go forward. And the neat thing about it is what God will do, He will fulfill in us the thing that will fulfill us. And there's a lot of Christians who are not fulfilled, and the reason that they're not fulfilled is that they're not seeking God. They're seeking other things to fulfill them when what we need is a relationship with God. A growing relationship with God. See, I don't care what you have, it's not going to make you happy. Stuff doesn't make us happy. More money doesn't make us happy. It's not about the material. None of that really makes us happy. It'll satisfy you for a little while, but it goes away. The new wears off. But an ever-growing relationship with God will be fulfilling. And that's what God's calling us to. Let me ask you a question. We're getting ready to close. Are you a practical atheist? Are you a John? You've prayed the prayer. You've said the right words. You say the right words. But in all honesty, your life is not being impacted by the gospel. You're just kind of going through the motions. You're doing the church thing. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm asking you to judge you. I can't answer that question for you. I don't have that insight into your life. But He does. And if you'll get honest with yourself and honest with Him, He'll show you. And you really know in your heart if that's so or not. Because you're feeling the tugging of the Holy Spirit right now. Are you like Susie? That you're doing everything you can to please God. And you never feel like it's enough. Because it's not. Are you a practical atheist? Do you believe in God but don't fear Him? Do you believe in God but you don't want to go gung-ho? And I understand, we don't need weirdness. We don't need extremes. We don't need truths taken to extremes. But we need people who are zealous for the things of God and to know God. And that will make you a fan. That will make you go beyond what you're doing now. Do you believe in God, but you trust money? You think that money will bring you happiness and security? When you prosper, you think, well, I don't need to trust God. I've got this. You know, it could disappear. Look at the stock market, how it goes. It's been crazy the last few weeks. I trust money. No, we need to trust God. I believe in God, but I don't know Him. I know Him, but I don't know Him well. Can you honestly say, I know God, and I have a growing, intimate relationship with Him? I want my prayer team to come. We're Serious moment. I sense the seriousness of the moment. Now here's the deal. I don't know where you are. You know where you're at. You may be here today and do not even know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You can find Him today. Every one of these people can pray with you and they can lead you to that. Maybe you're in some other kind of state of one of the things that we've talked about, and God's dealing with you today. We're going to open this up for you to come for prayer. As we pray, begin to come. If you need prayer for other things in your life, feel free to come. This is about prayer time. This is about you and God time. Father God, thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the love that you've shown us in Christ. Thank you for choosing us for eternal life. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for making us uncomfortable right now, if we're uncomfortable. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's wooing and drawing us into a closer relationship with you. Bless your people as they respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?